welcome to What Is It?
The podcast where we have thoughts,
we have opinions,
and we have questions.
I'm Tracy.
And I'm Beth. Hi.
Hello.
Another episode.
Another day, another episode.
Yeah.
Here we are.
In the rain.
I know, it's so wild.
Not literally in the rain because we're indoors.
But it's been raining so much, like, off and on lately.
Randomly.
But, like, out of nowhere.
Yeah, I was working from home, Friday? It's Sunday. Was it Friday? No, it was, like, before that. I don't even know. Who knows? I was working at home on a day. And it, like, rainstorm and thunder and everything out of nowhere. I had looked at the app, and it definitely didn't say it was going to rain. And then the Friday before that, I was working an event for work, and it was fine. Like, it was, like, I think we had, like, a couple clouds, but, like, it was sunny for most of the day. And then one of my coworkers got to the event, and she's like, oh, my God, did you hear? It's, like, pouring in Mission Viejo, which is, like, just south of where we were in this. For those that know the Orange County geography, I was in the city of Orange, and this was happening in Mission Viejo. So it was, like, what, like, four or five cities down?
Yeah. Half an hour away.
Downpour and hail.
Oh, my gosh.
So, like, not that far, but, like, completely different weather systems, apparently.
Yeah.
Pouring rain.
That's so crazy. Well, you and I, even, 50 miles away from each other.
Completely different weather. Like.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Well, and, like, today earlier it was raining.
Yeah.
When I finished, it was after class and then, like, between, you know, whatever, I went and got food, and then on my drive home, it just started raining, and I was like, oh, I guess we're raining. Yeah.
It didn't rain at all further south.
Yeah.
Like, none at all. It was sunny skies.
I almost texted you and was like, hey, it's just FYI, it's raining.
Oh, yeah. But that would have been news to me. Definitely didn't
right.
rain.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I went to California Adventure yesterday with my daughter and my husband, and it was, like, off and on raining all morning.
Oh, gosh.
And apparently my husband knew it was supposed to rain. But, like, I had been checking my weather app, and it didn't say rain. I guess, like, the day before, it started saying it was going to rain. So, thank goodness he had saw it. So, I grabbed a poncho, and they grabbed an umbrella.
Yeah. I was worrying about Palm Springs, because I was looking at the Palm Springs weather, and it says it's raining next Saturday there, but we're not going until the week after. So, I was like, but it's, like, in the 80s there.
Yeah. Well, I know, and right now it says rain on Saturday and Sunday this weekend, and I'm supposed to go to Disneyland that Monday, and I'm like, please finish on Sunday. Like, I do not want to do another theme park rainy day.
Right.
No. Pass. No. Although it is easier to do a rainy day at Disneyland, because there are a lot of indoor rides.
Yeah. California Adventure is a little harder.
Yeah. There's not a lot there anyway.
Yeah.
So, for those looking to travel, if you're doing multiple days in Disneyland California Adventure, plan one day for California Adventure and more days for Disneyland.
Yes.
There's just not a lot in California Adventure.
There's not a lot. Unless you really love California Adventure.
I don't know.
Today, we are talking about Dickinson, which I absolutely love. It's a TV show. It was released November 1st in 2019, and it aired through, it streamed through December 24th, 2021. Oh, I didn't realize it ended on Christmas Eve. That's funny. It's on Apple TV, and it was created by Elena Smith. The executive producers are Elena Smith, David Gordon Green, Michael Sugar, Paul Lee, Haley Steinfeld, Ashley Zalta, Alex Goldstone, and Darlene Hunt. It stars Haley Steinfeld, Toby Huss, Adrian Blake Ensko, and Anna Baryshnikov, Ellen Hunt, Jane Krakowski, and Wiz Khalifa in my favorite role as Death. The series follows Emily Dickinson as she explores her poetry and relationships with her family, friends, and societies. It incorporates modern music, language, and references into the historical setting of her life in the mid-1800s. Season one focuses on her romantic relationship with her best friend, Sue, who is engaged to Emily's brother, as well as her troubled relationship with her controlling father, who refuses to allow her to publish her poetry. And you can watch it on Apple TV. I first saw it, I'm trying to remember if I saw it when it came out or if I think all the seasons had been out because I didn't watch it before the pandemic. I watched it during the pandemic. And so all three seasons were out and I just like binged all three of them. And I just fell in love with it. And it's really, it's an easy binge. It's 10 episodes a season.
They're like 30
minutes.
They're
30
each.
Minutes. So I think I did it in like a weekend. And I just loved it. I loved like the use of like the kids in mm-hmm. the story, like air quotes kids, like using modern language, and like there was modern music, and you know, I just really liked all of that juxtaposed with like the historical mm-hmm. bent.
Yeah. I love a great anachronistic mm-hmm. like story, movie, TV. I enjoy that kind of like play mm-hmm. with history. So I first watched it I only have watched season one. So I have not been able to finish the whole series. I got all like excited when I first started it because it is like, it does go really fast, but I've just had so much going on and on my plate. And then mm-hmm. We talked about this as lessons in chemistry. I missed important bits mm-hmm. because I was doing it while I was like getting ready or like cooking. And so I was trying not to do this mm-hmm. with this. So I was trying to only watch it when I could really watch it. Mm-hmm. I did watch a few episodes while I cooked dinner.
Yeah.
But like, because I was limiting that, I really had very little time to finish it, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. So I only got through season one. So it was just like within the last like month and a half that, you know, I've been watching it. But I mean, from the first episode, I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Mm-hmm. It's so good. It's so smart. It's interesting.
And Haley's brilliant.
She's so good in it.
Everyone is so good in it. I mean, Jane Krakowski and mm-hmm. The woman who plays Sue.
I love Ella Hunt.
Yes.
Now, and I can't remember if we've mentioned it before, but I know we will talk about it in a future episode. She's in this crazy movie called Anna and the Apocalypse, and she plays the lead. And she sings because it's a Christmas zombie musical.
Yes. And it's British. So good.
And it's British.
And it's so good. It's so good.
And so I love her. And this is Sue is such a completely different role than mm-hmm. Anna. I mean, aside from being set in a completely different time.
And zombies.
And zombies. Yeah. Lack of zombies.
Yeah.
It's not like the Jane Austen zombies thing.
I also absolutely love Anna Baryshnikov. She plays Emily's younger sister, Lavinia. Mm-hmm. Which I think is so funny that like her mom's name is Lavinia and her mom's sister's name is Emily, and then they name their daughters Emily and Lavinia.
Right.
But yeah, so our question today is, Dickinson is not an accurate historical representation of Emily's life, but does it still capture her feminist spirit?
So I think the first part of the question, we kind of talked about it when we wrote the question, mm-hmm. Is Emily Dickinson herself feminist?
Yeah. And I don't know. I mean, was feminist even a thing then? Could she even identify it? Like, would she have identified as a feminist? I doubt it.
Yeah.
Was she in our history and in our context of, like, her work and things like that? Yes, obviously. Uh-huh. But, you know, would she have said she was a feminist? I don't know, because was that even a thing then?
Right. Was she a closet feminist? Where she, you know, she wrote, you know, this poetry mm-hmm. and letters and things like that. And she did kind of, the things that she wrote kind of pushed a boundary, mm-hmm. you know, that some women weren't, you know.
Well, and I think when we think about the history of Emily, like I did a very, very light, mm-hmm. I wouldn't even call it a dive, a light dip the toe in of research of into Emily Dickinson's life. Because I was like, where's the reality and the not, mm-hmm. right? And she was only published 10 times. In the show, it seems like she was only published the once or the twice or whatever it is, you know. And she died in her 50s, I want to say. She was born in, like, 1830s and died in 1880s.
I think that's what I saw, yeah.
And she's a December Sagittarius, by the way, which explains a lot. You know, she did write tons and tons of poems that were discovered by her sister after Emily's death. Mm-hmm. Very few things were published. Very few letters and poems of hers were published. But she wrote letters to a bunch of people, not only the few that it seems like in the show, mm-hmm. especially in later seasons when, like, other people start getting letters from her, but she wrote a lot of letters, and mm-hmm. she wrote to a lot of people. And there's, like, a history of not relationships like in a romantic way, but just collegial relationships with older men who she viewed as like a master or an educator to her in mm-hmm. some way. And there were a number of letters that were found to Sue, to Susan. The historians who first started publishing them really eliminated a lot of that. So it's kind of hard to be sure, but it is believed that they had a romantic relationship mm-hmm. before Sue married, or even maybe after Sue married Austin, Emily's uh-huh. brother. So in terms of, like, historical things, like, the show definitely takes a lot of liberties.
Yeah.
But Emily definitely lived an eccentric life. You know, she started taking to wearing all white, you know, and then at a certain point in her life, she sort of became agoraphobic, it seemed like, and she wouldn't leave the grounds or the house, you know, and people stopped seeing her around and things like that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's, given it's me, it's surprising how little I actually do know about Emily mm-hmm. Dickinson, her life and her work. Because to be honest, I'm not big on poetry. It's not my, like, preferred literature. Mm-hmm. So, like, I even like to say, like, is her work feminist? Like, I don't know. I haven't read much of mm-hmm. it. Like, except for what I've, like, maybe been exposed to, but I couldn't pinpoint it. Like, you couldn't point to a poem and be like, that's Emily Dickinson.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But I don't know.
Yeah. Her style's unique. Yeah. But I would say of the few things that I have read of her, you know, I haven't ever read a full book of her poetry or anything, you know, but of the few things that I've read and of the pieces of her work that are included in the show, I would say yes. Like, her writing is feminist, but I don't know, like, it's just all based on definition and time and the language of the time that we were using, you know, would this have been what she would have called herself? Maybe.
I do love how the show incorporates her poetry, and, like, it's almost mm-hmm. like every episode it's like she's writing a poem
mm-hmm.
and it's her, like, thought process, and you'll see it, like, kind of written in the on the screen in this, like, yellow gold
mm-hmm.
Script as she's, like, kind of working through it, and, like, she might pull a line out, and then usually at the end of the episode she's, like, you know, finish the poem, or, like, she at least puts a complete thought together of the poem, and it's mm-hmm. like I'm assuming that I could go back and find those exact mm-hmm. poems that she wrote. I'm assuming they're pulling from her real work.
You know, it's so funny. I've heard I'm Nobody, Are You Nobody Too? Like, I've heard that before. It's in, like, mm-hmm. an episode of Law & Order SVU. And I was like, oh, I never realized that was Emily Dickinson, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I love the show, and I see it as, I mean, I think we kind of pinpoint these, like, female authors. Like, we think of, like, Emily mm-hmm. Dickinson, the Bronte sisters, Jane Austen. Mm-hmm. Like, were they feminist, or mm-hmm. do we just see them as feminists because they were doing something at the time that most women didn't do?
Mm-hmm.
And that we look back and see their works retroactively as, like, these, like, feminist pieces because mm-hmm. they center women, or they're pushing a boundary that women don't usually push,
mm-hmm.
things like that. So, like, maybe, but If we accept that she is a feminist historical figure and that her work is feminist,
mm-hmm.
then I do think that the show captures that spirit.
Yeah.
You know, in a really unique way.
I think it is this really, it does this, for me, what I think it does is it takes this idea
mm-hmm.
and it makes it into this modern version of Emily Dickinson, who we would want to see, this idealized version of her.
Yeah.
Right? Because in truth, she actually, like, in the show, it goes makes this whole big hullabaloo about how she doesn't want to be a housewife. She doesn't want to learn how to cook. She doesn't want to do any of, like, the housewifey things.
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, she did all those things. Yeah. She was the primary food preparer in her family.
Yeah.
And she was an incredible baker, and, you know, which the show does capture.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's season one or season two.
She does. She bakes the bread in season one.
Oh, in season two, she enters, like, a cake contest, you know, and it's, like, it seems like she wins every year, and you know what I mean? And so it's, like, or maybe she didn't, she was second place last year, and she really wanted to win this year, and she just went, like, full extra. but at the end of the, like, but, you know, she did do all of those things, you know, and the show does capture that she and her mother didn't have a great relationship, mm-hmm. you know, but yeah, I mean, so I think it's this, like, heightened, fantastical, idealized version of what we would want Emily to be.
Yeah.
You know, without knowing if that's truly who she was.
I feel like it takes this, like, modern idea of, like, who a modern Emily could be mm-hmm. and plops it into this historical setting.
Yeah.
And it this like mishmash of like historical and modern, especially like you said with like the younger characters, mm-hmm. you know, using the modern language, the like the modern music throughout. Mm-hmm. And for me, like it's this really big, like it's the juxtaposition of this historical setting with the modern language and music. It really makes this point that all of these like past ideas of like misogyny, a woman's place, kind of persist even today. There's mm-hmm. this big overlap between like what was happening then, how where we're mm-hmm. at today. And it yeah. like kind of like converges on this whole like push against like the patriarchy and, you know, pushing these feminist mm-hmm. ideas and trying to these women trying to assert their own independence mm-hmm. and control.
Yeah.
You know, particularly with Emily wanting to publish her work and her dad really pushing against mm-hmm. that and saying like no, like mm-hmm. even like her brother.
Yeah.
Is when her dad is like off being a politician or whatever, is like, no, like yeah. what did I write down? I'm in charge. This is just the way it is, and you're not a real poet because real poets would be published.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, oh, God, I hated him in that moment so yeah. much. And I love how she responded to him. Like, just because you're a man doesn't mean you have to become a monster.
Yeah.
I was just like, go, Emily. Yes, you go, Emily.
I think the other thing that is, like, really idealized in this Dickinson universe is race
mm-hmm.
and the way that the black people in Amherst are treated yeah. because this is pre-Civil War America.
Yeah.
It is like right on the cusp of Civil War. And we do get into the war in later seasons. I think in season 3, but it might be in season 2. I can't exactly remember because I did watch it again for the show, but then I only got like halfway through season 2 and we decided that we were only doing season 1, so I just kind of stopped. But I think it's a little bit idealized that everyone in Amherst treats the black people of Amherst like right. they're free and equal. And,
well, and that it's a given that all of them, like her dad and are abolitionists.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And it does come up later, and I don't want to spoil it for you, but I also am just like, I don't know, do I? Like,
just say it.
So George becomes really problematic
Shocker.
But, you know, it's this idea, though, that everyone in town is an abolitionist and everyone, you know. And there is a little conversation about, you know, Native people mm-hmm. and, like, what have they gone through. And I feel like that might be in season 2 because it's mm-hmm. Lavinia and Lavinia's, like, boyfriend-y kind of person. And
yeah, it doesn't happen.
I think it's season 2. Yeah. But they're kind of, like, fighting over, it's, like, the boyfriend who's, like, just another rich white kid and
the one that showed her portrait everywhere, or is it a new one?
No, it's a new one. Oh, it's good. It's the one who I was telling you earlier who was like, who wants Lavinia to be this prim, proper wife, you know, and Lavinia's kind of finding her own self.
Yeah.
And it's the guy with Lola Montez. But but anyway, and then there's, I can't remember his name, but he's Native, and he's like talking to Lavinia or whatever, and the guy comes up and he's like, don't steal my girlfriend. And he's like, well, you stole all my land, you know. But so there's like,
touché.
I know, right? So like, I think it's like this idealized view of the way that people of color could behave in society
and how they could be received.
And there's a little bit, we talk a little bit about the show talks a little bit about the tensions. Like there's is the Shakespeare Club in...
It's in season 1. Well, and that's why it doesn't surprise me what you said about George, because he's the one that's really vocal when... So they...
Yeah,
they,
when it's not...
They he's have like, a it's Shakespeare Club, and they all... They pick a play, and... I almost said Haley. Emily, played by Haley, wants Othello.
Yeah.
And a couple of them are all like, well, you know, would your dad be okay with us doing Othello? It's kind of like, you know...
Risque.
Yeah.
It's a little racy.
So not only does she want to do it, but then she's trying to convince...
David, I want to say, but I'm not...
I forget his name. But a black gentleman who lives in the town, and, you know, he mm-hmm. was coming to fix their piano.
And it's also at the time where there are escaped enslaved people
mm-hmm.
Believed to be hiding in the area.
Mm-hmm.
And so, which means that there are cops from the South.
Yeah.
Arresting any black person that they see.
Right.
And the reality of the time is that even if you were free, even if you had papers, they were going to take you back to the South and they didn't care.
Yeah.
And the white people in the North, who knows what, if you got lucky, you know, whatever. Yeah. So they want him to tune the piano because maybe it's a great way for you to stay indoors.
Yeah.
You know? And then Emily's like pressuring him and pressuring him. He's like, I don't think this is a good idea, Emily. Yeah. And then finally is like, I don't think this is...
To read for Othello.
Yeah, to read it. Yeah. And he's like, I don't think this is a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
And then somehow she persuades him to do it, and he decides to, and...
George is, like, up in arms about it.
Loses his mind about it. Yeah. So there are bigger conversations and better conversations mm-hmm. than I think were probably had back then.
Yes.
That are had on the show. You know, and there are still elements of the inequity, right? Because there is, like, a black paper that mm-hmm. they're publishing that they have to hide in the barn.
Yeah.
There are some things, but there aren't, you know, but who knows what, like, it's probably a little better than it was in reality.
Well, and I think we kind of talk about it towards the end of our episode for Lessons in Chemistry of, like, it kind of brings in these conversations,
mm-hmm.
but at the heart of it, the story is about Emily.
Yeah.
And so, yes, it is kind of idealized. It's not like...
It's not Emily Dickinson Fights Racism.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not the most historically accurate show, but that would be pretty wildly out of character for her.
Yeah. And I actually really... I think that's what I love about the show is it is this, like, hyper-realistic, you know, kind of fun, fluffy, and serious.
Yeah. It brings up all these really great topics
mm-hmm.
and really deep. There's mm-hmm. a lot of importance and, you know, to each of them, the message is really good. And even throughout for her, she's like, well, why wouldn't we have you play read Othello? To be true to the character, you're so, you know,
should
like,
be you.
She didn't see any issue with it mm-hmm. because in this idealized version of Emily Dickinson, she sees people for who they are.
She's a poet.
Accept everything, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and so it... I lost my train of thought. I don't know where I was going.
But yeah, I mean, it is this hype.
You keep apologizing, you are not...
I was like, am I interrupting you?
You are not interrupting my thoughts. My thoughts are just fleeting, and by the time I get through my sentence, I've forgotten where I meant to end up.
I do think I get where you're going. It is this hyper-realistic view, but it's also exactly how we'd want to see her.
Yes.
You know?
Exactly.
And I think that is what I like about it, is that it is all of these things and still this enjoyable thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not watching it stuck in this struggle of...
Yes.
Oh God, women in the against the wheel of
mankind.
You know what I mean? It's fun. It's not light, but it's light. You know, it's funny.
It's deep and whimsical.
Yeah. Well, and then you have the incredible comedic chops of Jane Krakowski, and you know what I mean, and
how
freaking amazing she is.
I love her,
and she's playing this serious, buttoned up, dedicated housewife who all she wants to do is clean and cook and care for her family and marry off her daughters. And, you know,
she wants to have the perfect home for her husband to come to.
Yeah.
You know, and take care of his every need and desire and help her daughters do this. Well, she wants to marry off Emily.
She wants to marry off Emily and have Lavinia stay home forever.
Well, because Lavinia is better at doing the household stuff.
Well, Lavinia's more like Lavinia. It's so funny, the name thing. I just can't get over it.
The fact that...
So Lavinia is Emily's mother, and her sister's name is Emily.
Mm-hmm.
And then Lavinia had two daughters, whom she named Emily and Lavinia.
I thought her mom was Emily, and her sister was Lavinia.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Okay.
The mother is Emily, who has a sister, Lavinia.
Yes, the aunt.
The aunt Lavinia, and then the mother, Emily, had two daughters named Emily and Lavinia.
Yes. Can I just say how much I love... their aunt Lavinia.
Oh my God, I love her.
And so there's an episode. What is it, a Thanksgiving or Chris? Is it Christmas?
Christmas.
With
Louisa May Alcott.
The sister comes, and then there's some random woman who isn't married and is a published writer. And then she...
Louisa May Alcott.
Oh, is that her?
The author of Little Women.
Oh my God, I never. oh my God, I miss the dumbest things sometimes. I get so caught up on one thing that I other things just fly right by me. Like, that was a later episode, so by then I was getting desperate and probably watching it while I cooked.
Yeah.
But yeah, I loved, there's, I even wrote it down, when they're running.
Oh, yeah. And let's go for like, a run.
Skirts up, log ahead.
Like, you're like this random woman.
Yes. It's like, Emily is like really talking, because she's like really taken by the fact that like, oh my God, you're a published writer. You're making a living of this. Like, I want to talk to you. And so she's like, well, I'm going to go for a run. Do you want to cut? So they're literally like running
in their dresses, which we would consider like gowns, right? You know?
And she's just, and it's, I get like a total modern representation of apparently Louisa May Alcott. Thank you. The Little Woman herself.
Only who wrote one of the most popular novels of all time.
I never read it.
I didn't either.
Obviously not popular enough.
I watched the Katharine Hepburn version of Little Women.
I haven't even watched a movie version of it.
Not even the Winona Ryder one?
No.
What kind of a millennial are you?
I don't know.
I find it odd only because I know how much you read.
Yes.
That you haven't read Little Women.
Right? I swear I'll read it someday.
Yeah.
I'll add it to my to-be-read list.
I don't think I've read it.
But,
anyway.
Because the way she talks about writing, it's all about, like, well, you know, like, oh, you write poetry? Like, like you really want to do novels. Like, people love novels. That's what's going to sell. Mm-hmm. And it was very, like, PR marketing talk of, like, if you do this, and this kind of novel does really well, and like, it was, like, and she spoke and acted like it was such a, like, a modern idea of publishing, and it was really funny, and I wonder if
that's at all true to character, either.
Right. Probably not.
The Thoreau thing feels very true to character.
Oh, my God, Thoreau. Oh, man. But also, how feminist that, like, this, like, world-renowned, like, author of deep thought of like, what is it, Walden or something, of like Thoreau, and he's really this like total like dum-dum who like lives in a shack off the edge of the thing, and his family brings him everything.
His
he's
mother not living and sister, in the wilderness. Yeah, like, also to be very clear, like, his dad's not bringing him stuff.
That's true.
His mom's like, oh, I'm doing his laundry, I'll show you to his cabin.
Yeah, it is not, like, in the backwoods of, like, meanwhile, the forest.
There's, like, dozens of people, like, on the shore, like, swimming in the lake. And he's like, I need my solitude. And they're like, this isn't how you wrote it.
Yeah.
This isn't solitude.
And oh, my gosh, he's just such a, like, he's so, I don't even know how to describe him. He's just a dum-dum.
And I love that it's, like, John Mulaney. Yes. Who everyone is so disappointed in. Right.
But then you've got, like, Louisa May Alcott, who's, like, just super, like, hyper-intelligent, focused. Just
all about it, yeah.
Like, really understands, gets it, and, like, it's
intentional, right? Like, it's not even in the same episode, but the juxtaposition of those two characters.
Yes, of meeting these two, like, literary, like, icons.
Yeah.
You know, that are even, like, well-known in their own time.
Yeah.
You know? It's just funny.
Yeah.
Love it.
I really love the show. You should definitely check it out. Like, this is one I highly encourage you to watch if you haven't watched it.
Which one?
Dickinson.
Oh, you're talking to... I thought you were talking to me.
I'm talking to our listeners.
Our audience.
I'm talking to the people we're talking to.
But yeah, no, watch it. It's good. I plan on finishing it.
Yeah, it's so good. I love it. I'm going to finish it again, like, once we get out of this season, because I've got a lot to watch.
I know. I need to, like, catch up on stuff.
Yeah. For the next few
we had
weeks.
A very ambitious season. We had a lot of new TV.
We also pushed this recording session like 3 weeks.
We sure did.
So that's why we feel cramped now. But it's won't once we get... I think once we get through the next recording session, then I think we'll feel okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I swear we're still putting out quality work. It just feels a little rushed on our end.
We just feel cramped scheduling-wise. But
we've had a lot going on.
It's been a busy winter, spring.
Yes. Like, we've just had a lot happen in our own lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Anyway, well, this has been a journey. Anything else we want to say about Dickinson?
I kind of want to talk about her dad.
Oh, yeah.
Every other episode, I would hate him and then kind of like him.
He's, like, indulgent and then strict and then indulgent and then strict.
It's very... because I'd be like, then he would like from the beginning of the season of the show, mm-hmm. like her mom is very focused on like getting her married mm-hmm. and like you have a gentleman caller and I've arranged it and mm-hmm. blah blah blah. The dad is like, she doesn't have to get married. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh really?
Yeah.
But then she tries to publish one little poem and he's like, oh my,
you have to get married.
How dare you?
Yeah.
How dare you embarrass me?
Yeah.
And then he would be so kind. And I mean, and he was also kind of creepy sometimes with her. Mm-hmm. And then, like, when he crawls into her bed.
I didn't find that so much creepy, but it wasn't normal.
I got the sense of, like, do you just want to keep her for yourself? Not for yourself mm-hmm. in that way, but, like, keep her in your home. Like, keep yeah. her, you know, for you to have.
Because she challenges you.
Maybe.
And, you know, it's like that. I mean, maybe it speaks to that idea of, like, husbands and wives, right? He has this wife who will just do whatever he says.
Yeah.
And here's Emily, who will just challenge him yeah. at every turn.
That obviously, you know, makes him mad.
That makes him crazy, but also is, like, intellectually stimulating.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So I'm curious how he ends up being in later seasons, and you don't have to say. Because especially the mm-hmm. way this season ends
yeah.
is he, like, he's been gone for months, and he comes home, mm-hmm. and she, this is, like, her best friend just married her brother, and she wasn't even allowed to be at the wedding because her yeah. brother Austin is
her brother.
Such a dillweed.
But I mean, not without some reason.
True.
Given the nature of the relationship between Emily and Sue.
Correct. Yes.
They were friends who kissed.
Yes. But
and he did a lot.
Yes. But I think I was most mad when he disinvited her to the wedding and then told everybody, well, she didn't want to come.
Yeah.
I'm like, you asshole.
Jerk.
But anyway, so all of this has happened. She's been up in her room while all of this is going on downstairs. Mm-hmm. And they get married and blah, blah. And then the dad comes up to talk to Emily. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't even let him get a word in.
Yeah.
She basically just says, like, I am a poet and I am going to publish whether you like it or not. Mm-hmm. And he's just like, I know. And she shuts the door. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, yes, yes, effing Emily Dickinson. And you don't need a man's permission.
Because that was after the whole thing with death, right? Where she's like in the coffin.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I love in the first episode when whenever we first meet Death.
Yes.
And she's like complaining about her dad and, you know, whatever. And he's like, Emily, you're going to be the only Dickinson anyone ever talks about.
I love that.
Yeah.
And it's true.
It is true. Here we are.
Ugh. But yeah, so I loved him and I hated him. He irritated me. But he does seem to genuinely care about her.
I think he loves her, but I think it's that the hyper realistic idealized, right, where it's like he doesn't know how to love the her, like who yeah. she is, like her in the way that
yes.
she needs to flourish.
And he doesn't know how to let go of his own yeah. preoccupation as a man
yeah.
in the world.
Well, and it's like that's the problem with George, right? At the right. end of the day, like George would have been a great match in mm-hmm. so many ways, right? He didn't care if she published. He wanted her to publish. He
yeah.
was finding ways to support her in
yeah.
what she wanted to do. He was just not what she wanted to do.
Yeah. Nope. I'm sad about Ben, though. Ben would have been perfect for her.
Yeah.
The moment he coughed, I was like, oh, shit. Well, he's going to die.
Spoiler.
Sorry. Well, I mean, it's not this season. But yeah.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm kidding.
I mean, we all know she doesn't actually ever get married.
No,
so.
She dies in her father's house.
But, like, they were so cute together. Mm-hmm. And they were so well matched.
Yeah.
He, even more than George, like, he was such a great, because he even kind of challenged her. Mm-hmm. And I loved him. He
yeah.
was so sweet.
Well, and there was the whole little, like, beardy situation where they may have been each other's beards at the end of it all. Like, not in historical accuracy,
yeah.
right? But in the context of the show where she has that dream about him and he's, like, kissing the other guy.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
And her relationship with Sue, you know,
yes.
if it were really as, like, full
yeah.
and...
I don't think I've ever heard that term of, like, their beard.
Oh, yeah. It's like when a... gay man marries a woman. It's
oh.
his beard.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think the term is reversible now.
Got it.
I mean, like, interchangeable, like, you yes. know what I'm trying to
it
say.
It could apply to a female or a male.
Yeah. But, yeah, I thought that was interesting. And I was like, I wonder, not the historical accuracy, obviously, of, like,
yeah.
the dreams and whatever, but just, like, you know, was he actually gay? Or was he,
yeah.
you know, or was this, the...
Was there even a Ben?
Yes,
or
there
was that a complete, was there?
No, there was a Ben.
Oh.
There was a Ben, and this was one of the people that she wrote letters to, calling him master, like, as in her master, yeah. Like, teaching master.
Got it.
And it's one of those relationships with an older man. Like, she had mm-hmm. several relationships with older men or, yeah. you know, established men that weren't romantic necessarily, but where she would write these...
That makes sense.
Intense letters to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, she yeah. was a very... I mean, if the show's accurate enough for that, she's a very intense person.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And I feel like you have to be a poet.
Right?
It's like... I mean, otherwise...
It just comes with the territory.
Otherwise, you're just writing Shel Silverstein and it's like fluffy rhyming. You know what I mean? But like... Poetry in yeah. that sense, like deep, thoughtful poetry. Not that other stuff isn't thoughtful. It yeah. is. It's just a different kind of poetry.
Yeah.
This is like, it's deep and it's heavy. And that's probably why I've never gotten into it.
Mm-hmm.
Is, that's just not my jive.
I don't think it's for everybody.
Yeah.
And I don't know that I am into or not into poetry. Watching Dickinson, though, made me... think like, oh, I want to start to read poetry.
I'm very curious. It makes me want to go find some of her work and mm-hmm. read it.
Yeah.
You know what poetry I really love? Is I love Amanda Gorman.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
You know.
Her style's almost narrative.
It is. It almost, like, it has, like, a, it almost reads like lyrics of a song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's more of that where it's, like, but it's, like, it's accessible but deep.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah.
Anything else about Dickinson that we should talk about?
I have a lot of notes, but I think that pretty much covers it.
Everyone does such a good job.
Yeah.
All of the actors. Everyone does such a good job.
Yeah. It's just a really interesting show to watch.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny. It's
yeah.
makes me sad sometimes. It's mm-hmm. It's just, it has me, like, wondering, like, what's going to happen to that character? What's yeah. going to happen to that character? Like, even side characters. Mm-hmm. I'm, like, really curious.
Yeah.
Yeah. So to bring it back to the question, mm-hmm. like, I think we agree. Like, it's...
It captures what we imagine Emily Dickinson to be.
Yeah.
I think.
And I think that's the feminist spirit. The spirit of how we...
We would hope she is.
Remember her and think of her.
Yeah.
Kind of, like, manifested this modern image of her.
Yeah.
And I like it.
I like it. It's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun. Check it out. And then check us out.
Yes.
On Instagram, Twitter.
At But Is It Pod.
Yep. We're on the Facebook of Face.
Yeah.
Find
us on Patreon.
Yep.
Got lots of stuff on there. Lots of extras. Bonus yes. episodes. More yeah. pictures. We share a lot of pictures of stuff.
I'm trying to do better about posting more on Patreon. So... Yeah, hopefully we can ramp that up a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's still stuff there. There's like a monthly yeah. bonus episode. It's usually a video. There's behind the scenes photos of like when we went to go see Six mm-hmm. or we've got a trip to Palm Springs coming up. There'll be that, you know, yeah. so.
We'll post a couple little teasers on Instagram.
Yeah.
But the bulk of it will be
on Patreon.
On Patreon.
If you want to see what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Just monetize our life. but, yeah. Anyway. All right. Well, don't forget to always have thoughts, have opinions, have questions. And we will talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.
But Is It Podcast is produced by Tracy Muller and Beth Hofelt.
The artwork is by Anna Apperson.
And music by Devin Wall.